The baby, Van, the runt. He's your son, Mr. Humphreys, and he needs medical attention. See to it, then. Don't you want to know? The less I hear about that runt, the better I like it. Don't bother me about him. Just do what needs to be done. She sighed again, this time with disappointment Humphreys could clearly see. Yes, sir, she said. Humphreys pushed himself up from his desk chair and crooked a finger at her. Come with me, Victoria. Business hours are finished for this afternoon. It's time for fun. She gave him a look somewhere between surprised and reluctant. But there's still... Coming around the desk, he held out his hand to her. Vicky, if you wear such enticing clothes, you can't blame me for reacting. She shrugged, which made her even more enticing to him.
Pancho was still steaming by the time she got back to her home in Cellini. That's twice the bastards tried to kill me, she said to herself as she paced through the suite's front corridor to her bedroom. I can't let him have a third shot at me. She tossed her travel bag onto the bed and told the phone to get her chief of security. Abruptly, she canceled the call. Find Nobuhiko Yamagata, Pancho said. Silently, she added, time to fight fire with fire. It took several minutes for Pancho's computerized communication system to work its way through the Yamagata Corporation's computerized communication system. But at last, the wall of Pancho's bedroom seemed to dissolve, and she was looking at a three-dimensional image of Nobuhiko. He was on his feet, in a quilted winter parka, its hood pulled down off his head. Pancho could see snow-covered mountains and a crisp blue sky in the background. Jeeps, she said. I hope I haven't busted into your vacation. Nobuhiko smiled and shook his head. Only a weekend getaway, Miss Lane. Your call sounded important. It's important to me, Pancho said. Martin Humphreys has tried to murder me again. Again? Nobu's brows rose.
As he listened to Pancho's story, Nobuhiko was thinking that his father's strategy was working perfectly. She believes Humphreys has tried to kill her twice. The first time was our doing, of course. But Humphreys is playing his role, too, just as father predicted. So I was thinking that a strategic alliance between our two corporations would make a lot of sense. Together we could outmaneuver Humphreys and outmuscle him if we have to. Nobu pretended to be impressed. The problem is, he said slowly, that Yamagata Corporation has confined its activities to Earth ever since the greenhouse cliff devastated Japan and so many other nations. I know, Pancho said, after the nearly three-second lag that bedeviled communications between the Earth and the Moon. But if our two companies work together, Yamagata can get back into space industries as Astro's partner. Stroking his chin thoughtfully, Nobu replied, that is something worth considering, naturally. I will take it up with my board of directors. I'll call a special meeting as early as I can. Almost 3 seconds later, Pancho nodded. Okay, I appreciate that. In the meantime, though, I need some advice, military advice. Can you recommend someone to me? Ah, thought Nobuhiko, now we come to the real reason for her call. She is going to war with Humphreys, and she needs a military force. There are several organizations of mercenaries that might be of service to you. I want the best, Pancho said. I will send you complete dossiers on the best three organizations, Nobu said, while thinking, Father will be very impressed. His plan is moving well. Let Astro and Humphreys destroy each other. Yamagata Corporation will even help them to do so.
Terminated? Harvin stared at Grigor's message on his screen. Just like that, they kick me out? He was in his quarters in Vesta, while the damaged Samarkand was undergoing repairs. Lisa Chaptal was in bed with him when Grigor's stinging message came through. Simply one line. Your services for Humphrey's space systems are hereby terminated. Period. Harbin knew it would take at least half an hour for him to get a message back to Grigor. But what could he say? ask why he'd been cut loose? That was obvious. He'd failed to get Fuchs, and failed to carry out his assignment about Pancho Lane. They were finished with him. How many have I killed for them? Harbin asked himself. For more than 8 years I've done their bidding, and now they kick me out. Terminated. Like some bug they squash under their boots. Liza saw the frozen expression on his face, realized that Harbin was raging beneath his mask of icy indifference. It's all right, she said, sliding her arms around his neck. Yamagata will hire you. How can you be sure? He muttered. They've wanted to hire you for months. Now there's nothing to prevent you from accepting their offer. But if I'm no longer with HSS, why would they hire me? They only wanted me to spy on Humphreys for them. They'll hire you, she repeated. I know they will. Why? Liza smiled at him. Because there's going to be a war here in the Belt. And you are a warrior.
Astro Corporation Headquarters. Technically, the principal offices of Astro Corporation were still at La Guayra, off the drowned coast of Venezuela. But Pancho had moved almost all of the corporate headquarters staff to Cellini. Most of the board of directors lived in the Lunar City, and those who didn't attended board meetings electronically. The three-second communications lag made the meetings tedious to some extent, but Pancho was perfectly willing to accept that. Astro's business was off-Earth. Even shipping asteroidal ores Earthside was almost entirely a space operation, and Pancho had always insisted on being where the action was. Now she sat in the richly paneled boardroom in her usual place at the head of the long, polished conference table. The only other person in the room at this moment was Jacob Wanamaker, known as Hard-Ass Jake. A retired commander of the International Peacekeeping Force, Wanamaker was a big-shouldered, heavy-bellied, genial-looking older man with a wry, lopsided smile and sad, pouchy brown eyes that had seen much more than their share of death and destruction. Nobuhiko Yamagata had recommended three military advisors to Pancho. A Japanese mercenary who had fought in many wars from Indonesia to Chiapas in Mexico. A Swedish woman who had organized the multinational force that pacified the turmoil in southern Africa, and Hard-Ass Jake. The first two had never been off Earth. Wanamaker had served several tours aboard a missile defense space station in Earth orbit. Besides, Jacob Wanamaker had been an admiral in the U.S. Navy before accepting a commission with the IPF. And Pancho figured that fighting in space would be more closely akin to naval warfare than land campaigns. Once she had personally interviewed the three candidates, Jake won hands down. He was open, easily admitting his lack of experience in space, but the toughness he was famous for showed through his veneer of polite sociability. Pancho had seen men like him when she'd been growing up in West Texas.
So the trick is, he told her in his rough sandpaper voice, to control the lanes of communication. And to do that, you need vessels that are armed and bases for them to be supplied and repaired.
Pancho nodded. Sounds expensive. Wanamaker's weather-seamed face was a geological map of hard experience.
War is never cheap, Miss Lane. The cost is always high. High in blood and high in money. Lots of money.
Must be exciting, though, she said, probing for his reaction. Wanamaker cocked a cold eye at her.
Exciting? If you think shit in your pants because you could get killed in the next millisecond is fun, yeah, then I guess you could call it exciting.
It was at that moment that Pancho decided to hire Jacob Wanamaker. Now they sat in the otherwise empty boardroom planning strategy. HSS has a major base on Vesta, Pancho said. What do we do about that? Attack it? Wanamaker pursed his lips for a moment, then replied in his gravelly voice,
Why attack them where they're